Whoopie-doo.
Yes.
You didn't close any doors, and I'm thankful because it's great living out this vocation. But I love myself. It's okay. You're loved. Yeah. I love the, in both of your stories, and this is what came back to me, so the Holy Spirit must have wanted me to mention it, is like how the mystical body works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how the Holy Spirit works, like you having sisters and now you being a sister, you know, with your passing of your father and now you becoming a sister. And like, in yours, the freedom to be, the freedom to kind of, you know, go into these relationships and then, you know, come out and then be like, okay, Lord, there's something more here. And like, and then early on, like the sisters having an impression on you, even though we didn't know what that was, it was probably just a prayer for you, right? It was just probably a prayer life for you. But like how the Holy Spirit and the mystical body works and operates. And I feel like as a priest and maybe religious, it's just, it's cool to step back and just say, wow, like, I don't have to stress out or freak out or be anxious because somebody's going to fill that void. Like, somebody's going to do that because that's what the, you know. So it's just like even more of a leaning into the Holy Spirit. And then docility. I love that. I was docile too. Like, just, we both actually went into seminary right after high school.
That's getting very rare.
Yeah. So we're a rare breed.
This is a cable of teenage vocation.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. So we all got, so whatever. I know. It's a rarity. We didn't know how rare until we got to Sacred Heart. And we're like, oh, only one other guy? Oh, okay.
That's so true, though. I remember even that. And when you are in that, when you are walking with the Lord, you're in it with him, and so you're not seeing yourself and your vocation the way everyone around you is seeing it. I mean, I'm sure you all experienced things with friendships and and then learning about people later on. I mean, people later on told me, we thought you were crazy. I mean, word on campus when we came back that semester was, she's insane. Like, she's lost it. Like, who knows what this is? Like, probably it'll only last a few months. Like, she'll come back to her senses, but
We did an interview with my, it's on YouTube, but with my parents, and it wasn't until that, this was my second year in Detroit, and then RCS, Rochester Catholic Schools, wanted to do an interview with me and my parents, and it wasn't until that interview, I was in the other room, that the interviewer asked my parents, so what was your reaction when Brian told you that he was going into seminary? And my parents looked at each other and just said, he never told us. never sat down and said, hey, by the way, I'm going into seminary. It was just like, hey, I'm going to St. Mary's, I'm joining the seminary. Like, it wasn't, so then that night, like, we were around the table, and I was like, that's really funny. Like, and my parents always said that during the interview, too. He's like, Brian does what Brian does. Like, he just, you know, he doesn't need anyone else to, like, he just kind of does his thing. So, like, yeah. But anyways, coming back to, I loved what you were saying between, you know, going with this individual and then the Lord. Like, I think sometimes we think discernment is between good and evil.
Yep.
But, like, discernment for individuals is, like, between the good and the greater.
Yep.
And, like, that's a hard maneuver to, like, obviously, and then the discernment of the spirits. Maybe that's what the Lord wants to do. You guys want to do the discernment of spirits?
Do you mean
we can
go
through
right
the rules?
Now?
No. We'll go through the rules for some future podcast.
Yes.
Do a series on it.
Yes. I mean, I can't.
We have a lot of brothers. What? I can't think of all 14 of them. There's 14 of them.
Pop quiz. That's why we have books. That's okay.
We'll just go through the book. We'll read Gallagher's book. Anyways. But that discernment between the good and the greater. And then something that I often, you know, reflect on is like, when people are like, well, religious life or priesthood are holier, like, vocations. I always go, it was holier for me because it's what the Lord created me to do. But it's not holier in the sense of he's not calling you to, you know, that. And I love that freedom that both of your hearts had to be like, I came to that on the 30 day is like, either way, the Lord's going to love me. But what do I want to respond to? What did he create me for? So I want to respond to that more than, you know. So just to respond to that greater love and who he created me to be. But
yeah, I think it's just beautiful. Because I know, Mother, you said, like, oh, we didn't graduate. We dropped out of college. But, you know, I think people are so hung up on just how perfectionist perfectionism has become
yeah,
rampant in our culture. And so, like, everyone wants to have that perfect vocation story. But if you, just from our discussion, like, everyone's totally different. Mm-hmm. But yet that one encounter changed when we were open. Because, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's great that you mentioned, both of you guys mm-hmm. mentioned that in your vocation story. Because, like, when especially when you said, which one is holier? Because people often get so angry when they ask me, like, Father, why? I said yes to the Lord. Like, somebody else, I love this. Father, I don't get it. I'm praying. I'm giving myself to Jesus. I'm on a college campus praying, and the most prettiest girl walks in. I start laughing. They're like, that's just a sick joke. I'm like, no, the Lord just asks, how free are you? That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's really a question of freedom. So I love when mm-hmm. you talked about how, in your own experience, the Lord preps you to become more free,
mm-hmm.
freer to choose Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the world wants that. A lot of young people there who are listening, maybe this is a podcast, want that ability to choose.
Mm-hmm.
But all they know is, right, is this a young wave of good young Catholics out there, but they're so used to going to seek, right? They've been mm-hmm. in focus, and so like mm-hmm. then they're taught a discernment, which is beautiful a certain mm-hmm. way, but we have to remember each person is different,
mm-hmm.
right? When God calls you, when you're ready, right? Mm-hmm. And so, do you have any advice for maybe young ladies out there who keep thinking, like, well, these guys are cream of the crop, and I'm nowhere near them, right? Like, how do I even start? Or
no, and before God, none of us are the cream of the crop.
That's the best part. But I always love Peter's prayer in the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, depart from me. And the Lord doesn't answer his prayer.
Actually,
you're going to become
the
boat. Yeah,
yeah.
You're a sinner. I'm a savior. This is going to work out.
Next thing, t-shirt line for this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You're
a sinner.
Good
one liner.
Yeah.
This
is going to work out. This is going to be fine.
Yeah, as far as like advice, though, wherever you are, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's so reachable.
Mm.
It's so reachable. I think we just don't see it. You know, it just seems sometimes happiness, which when I say happiness, I mean the joy of living your life in
yeah.
intimacy with the Lord and just in intimacy with the Lord, not even speaking about human relationships, because human relationships come and go. They can change, they can fail, but the Lord is constant. And so, our ultimate happiness will be found in Him alone. That's the truth. But anyway, so wherever you are at in that journey right now, try to seek Him today. That's it. It's like, seek Him today. I think the thread that I see in my vocation story is just the Lord presenting Him to me in the way that I could meet Him. That's the beauty, like the woman at the well. He always comes to us in the way that we can receive Him in that moment. So
mm-hmm.
I'm convinced by faith that the Lord is seeking every single woman who's listening to this podcast in a special moment. Make room for Him. Like, say yes to the way that He's seeking you today. Maybe that could be, you know, that you need to return to the sacrament of confession with more frequency compared to whatever, like,
mm-hmm.
that might be for you right now. Or maybe there's a habitual vice or a habitual sin that you've fallen into that's keeping you from being authentic in your relationship with the Lord. And so until you really entrust that to the Lord's mercy and bring that to Him regularly through prayer and the sacraments, it'll be difficult to know His will. So, but as soon as we entrust it to His mercy, not that it goes away,
mm-hmm.
not that He gives us victory over it right away, but
mm-hmm.
if you're entrusting your weaknesses to His mercy, your ears are open to hear His goodness. And so in that process of seeking Him, He might call you to something much, much greater than you feel capable of in that moment, because you're in the moment, like, you're just bringing your weakness to Him and you're just like being a loser in His presence.
Yeah.
And then He's like, oh, I love you so much. And since we're talking now and you're listening to me, by the way, I've actually destined you to be a great saint.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, right.
About that.
About that.
Yep.
But to be open, like, that's a beautiful thing. And not to be afraid, Like, I think I found the greatest thing throughout, whether religious life or beforehand, is sometimes it can be very scary what the Lord presents to us as his will, whether I'm in married life or I know a lot of married women, like the fear of bringing a new child into the world, the fear of being open to life, even as Catholics, like we all know it, we're all on board, but there is a real fear that women have to face when it comes to bearing life in their bodies again, for on a physical level, on a psychological level. The Lord's will is life. And so whether you are called to matrimony with a man of this world or with Christ himself, every time the Lord enters your life, it is to bring life out of it. And that's going to be an intimidating encounter at times. So, however, be ready for that moment and ready for that invitation and that feeling of weakness or helplessness, knowing that that's exactly where the Lord wants you. And that's what he wants to fill. So that's my advice, is like,
that's beautiful.
Bring your weakness to the Lord and don't be afraid of the great of when he calls you to that life-giving experience, to cooperating in his life-giving work. So, because it's going to be scary sometimes. Yeah, yeah, which is true. We all know that.
Love
it's
it.
Like,
yep.
I love it.
So, yeah.
I think also it's important for parents to be open to their child's vocation, but also to present the possibility of a vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life. Like, again, for me, where we grew up, there wasn't religious around, but as our new pastor started bringing religious for different talks and stuff like that, my mom brought my brother and I to those to be able to just witness the gift of religious life. And honestly, I say it a lot, God bless my mother, because I entered in May, and then my brother we thought he was just going to be at home until he was 33, like, you know, just like Jesus, like, he's just going to live at home forever, mama's boy, but then, yeah, exactly, he's still very much a mama's boy, he entered, or in September, he began the process, like, to enter seminary, so soon after, and my mom, I often think of, we heard the gospel yesterday of in the woman who she only had 2 coins, right? And she gave everything, right? And not that my brother, not that we could, we couldn't be described as the small coins because we're both very large, but like, so that's the only part of that analogy. I think that doesn't work so well. But the fact that, like, my mom was a widow. Like, all she had at home were her 2 kids. And people ask her, like, how could you let your kids do that? And my mom said that when she was younger, after her father passed away, she would just pray and pray, like, God, please let them experience joy again in their life. And she's like, never in my life could I have imagined so much joy, right? And so when people ask her, oh, well, don't you want to have grandkids? She said, that's not my vocation, is to be a parent, right? Like, and to raise my children in the faith, right? And not about what I want, because if it's like, yes, I want to be a grandparent, well, then that means one of my children has to be miserable, not living out the vocation God wants them, you know, in that sense. And so for parents to, like, help their children to see the vocation, and I think also, like, I always use this analogy of a little boy wants to be a firefighter because he sees a firefighter on the back of a fire truck and is like, whoa, that's so cool. Or, like, a little girl sees a vet healed it. If a child doesn't see the work of a religious, like I was blessed to at a young age, that idea of the vocation to the religious life, or if a young man doesn't get to know his priest, you know, there can be the difference of that. Oh, that he's just that guy up at the altar, right, all over there, where, like, that's also, you know, like, the priest, the beautiful of the ministry of, like, growing their relationship with the young men of your parish. But I think it's just also really important to encourage parents to be open to their child's vocation, because it has an influence, right? Like, if your family is like, I am so against your vocation, that's a very real temptation and can become a very difficult aspect to discerning. And so loving your child in whatever vocation God calls them to, you know, like, to really, like, raise them in the faith well, and like, mm-hmm. if this is what you do, then when they say, okay, I feel that God is calling me to give my life completely, mm-hmm. like, thanks be to God, and like, you know, and God will bless that generosity a hundredfold. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's the beautiful tradition that when you're ordained a priest, after you're ordained, the managergium gets, the priest has and wipes the excess oil off his hands, and tradition being that when his mother is buried, she's buried it with it in her hands, and when Christ asks what he has given her, she can say, I've given you my son, right? And so how beautiful to be able to take that child that God has given you and give them back, you know, to him in that way. And my mom says that a lot. She's like, I call them my children, but they're God's gift to me. Yeah. They're God's children first. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's like, I'm just glad I didn't mess it up. She says it all the time. She's like, it's a miracle I didn't mess the whole thing up. I don't know how that happened. You know, so, yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned that too, because that plays a pivotal role, especially when, like, just discernment in general, mm-hmm. like to be vulnerable, like mm-hmm. who better else to have God in your corner, but also your parents, mm-hmm. right? And you're right, that's another temptation. People yeah. will leave so early and say, well, my folks are against it, I'm not, yeah. you know, like, and they're just praying and mm-hmm. hoping that the dialogue can happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's a two-way street, mm-hmm. right? both the child discerning and then the parents do as well. Mm-hmm. I love that, it's awesome. Yeah.
Because it's not like Mary fought Jesus when he was going to go leave to begin his public ministry, right?
That's true.
And I also, like, that moment, too, like, it's not written out there in the gospel, but Mary, you know, the wedding feast at Cana, yeah. tells Jesus to begin his ministry. Like, that next morning, when Jesus was going to leave for his public ministry, and, like, they didn't know when the next time they were going to see each other,
correct.
Right? But, like, both had an understanding of, like, this is what we have to do to fulfill God's will for our life. Mm-hmm. And although it's difficult not being around your family in these moments, like, mm-hmm. you know that it's so that you can be together in an eternal life, right? Exactly. So you have to fulfill God's plan mm-hmm. here in earth yeah. in order to be able to obtain eternal life.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking about suffering the other day and mm-hmm. during the homily and Christ the King, and said, suffering makes the best stories, right? So camping trips gone awry, hunting trips gone awry, fishing trips gone awry. Like, mm-hmm. those are the stories you tell, right? And I'm like, how amazing is heaven going to be when I was like, oh, yeah, you want to talk about suffering? Well, I got some stories for you. Like, we got stories to talk about, right? Like, we got some pain and some camaraderie to share with you, you know, share with each other here, and then even more so in eternal life. Like,
I love sacred art. And I love how it, like, when you see beautiful murals of the saints, how the church exalts the suffering of the saints. So it's like St. Bartholomew, for our listeners who do not know the tradition, St. Bartholomew was skinned alive, his form of martyrdom. So sacred art is like holding his skin in his hand, like, hey, I got a new one.
Like,
so, yeah, it's just, what will we be holding?
Right.
Fathers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When I was in Greece and Turkey, where I was in one, and you could, like, it was funny, because you could tell, like, where, like, the 60s and 70s redidn't, and, like, everyone on the other half was beheaded, swords everywhere, like, just, and then it went to the other side, and it was, like, glamorous, awesome, like, woohoo, resurrection happened, and I was like, I love this. I love this story.
Really
of just, like, death and suffering and pain and, like, beheading and, like, martyrdoms and martyr here, martyr there, so arrows, you know. Mm-hmm. And, like, this side, we're already living out the resurrection. Like, it's just, it's funny. So, cool. Well, we actually hit an hour. Look at that.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're at an hour, 59 minutes.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Anything else? Any closing remarks from either of you?
Be holy.
That was fun. Be holy.
That's awesome.
My hashtag is stay holy, my friends.
That works well. That works well.
Hashtag.
Hashtag. Of course, those aren't really a thing anymore. I still do them, but whatever.
I don't know. I don't know what is a thing anymore.
I don't know. TikTok is, little dances, you know, whatever.
So yeah, but for our listeners out there, thank you so much, Mother Faith and Sister Strength of Martyrs, for joining us for this podcast. And I think it's going to be super helpful for our listeners out there too. You know, once again, there's no perfect vocational discernment, right? God just longs for your heart and for your freedom. And so I love how you close it out. Just stay holy, right? And seek Jesus. So thank you so much for joining us. And then we'll put a Facebook post, because you talked about the discernment of spirits.
Yeah.
I think your parish is hosting one, right? For both men and women?
We are. They'll be upcoming. I'm not sure when this is going to be published, but our next date is at Christmas time. So we have two for women before Christmas, and then one for men after Christmas, with hopes of doing them again in the summer. So we'll keep you guys posted.
Perfect. Yeah. So if you were saying, well, I don't have time now, you have resources. Excuses. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Father.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. So,
all right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Once again, Father Tay, and you are?
Father Brian.
Okay, good.
Theme song, exit. Goodbye. Stay holy, my friends.